All right. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. Like I said earlier, the title of my message is Enough Grace for One More Day. This is a truth that excited me one day when I was reading through this, and when I first got a grasp of this truth, I was actually in Bible college, and I'll talk about that a little bit here in a little bit. But this truth really stood out to me, and it meant a lot, and just especially as a young college student in college and trying to deal with finances and other things in Bible college that you go through. This truth really stood out and meant a lot to me. And, you know, the idea of God giving us just enough grace to go one more day when the trouble gets hard. And so this truth is the story of Elijah. And we'll read here quite a few verses. We're going to read the first seven verses. Now, do you guys usually stand for the scripture reading? Usually, I'm getting yes, no, sometimes. Well, that's our custom at our church to stand. So if you would stand with me. We do that out of respect for the Word of God, and it makes me feel a little more at home. Sorry to make you get up and down. All right, we're going to read 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these 3 years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee thence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I pray that you would just meet with us this evening, that you'd speak through me. Lord, you know I'm a little nervous, and when I get nervous, I tend to talk and say things that I don't mean. I pray, Lord, that wouldn't be the case, but that you would say the things that you would want me to say through me, and that you'd just help us to get a truth this evening. I pray that you bless us tonight, and we thank you for these dear people that are here. I pray that you just bless us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, thank you. Maybe see it. All right, so enough grace for one more day. God gives us enough grace for one more day in the good times. In 1 Kings 17 and verse 1, the very first thing we see is Elijah come in, and what does he do? He threatens the economy of the entire nation of Israel. We see in this story, this is the very first appearance of Elijah as he comes in and onto the scene, so to speak, into the limelight, and he comes up to King Ahab, and he points his finger at King Ahab and says, "I'm going to, according to the Lord, he's going to cut the rain and the dew from the ground until he gets right with the Lord." And so, what would you think as a young preacher if your first thing you're doing is you're going up to the king of the land and you're saying, "Hey, I'm going to ruin the entire economy by causing a drought." Now, that's one thing we haven't had this year is a drought. But but I'll tell you, my family is from Colorado. My mom is, at least. And I have a couple aunts. I have an aunt and an uncle out there. And, they deal with the droughts, a lot of stuff. And that's not fun. But they even get some rain. And as we find out later, is that rain goes for 3.5 years, that there's no rain in the land for that long. But when this first comes in, Elijah comes in, there's no trials yet. There's no troubles yet. But yet what we see is right off the bat, God takes his man and puts him by the brook Cherith and provides for him daily. It doesn't say there that the ravens brought meat enough to supply him for the week. It doesn't say it brought him enough to supply him for the month. It says that he gave it to him in the morning and in the evening. You know, I wonder if Elijah every once in a while wondered, you know, is that raven going to eat my breakfast today? Is that raven going to eat my dinner today? You know, I wonder what he thought. But yet he trusted the Lord, and we see that the Lord's able to use that, and God begins to build a faith through Elijah. Elijah begins to build a reliance on the Lord because God provided enough grace to get him day by day. He didn't provide, like I say, he didn't provide enough for the week or for a month. He provided him daily. See, Elijah's, he starts off his ministry looking pretty good. There's no threats yet, no trials in his ministry. He is following the Lord's wish, and all is as good as could be. Elijah does as he is told of the Lord to do, and the Lord provides him for him one day at a time. We see this in where the ravens are feeding him in the morning and in the evening. And in the good times, we may not even realize that God is, but he provides for you every day, and we ought to try and give him thanks for it. And I wrote this down. This is actually something I was in reviewing this message that the Lord spoke out to me as well. He said, you know, here Elijah is, he's relying on God. But as a Christian, I would much rather be trusting the Lord daily and having the Lord meet my needs every day than to have all of the wealth and the riches that I've tried to work for myself and not have God's blessing on my life. I would much rather know that I have a Savior who is watching out for me and providing for me every day, rather than to be working out there for myself, providing for myself, and not have the peace knowing that God, my Savior, is watching out and caring for me. And Elijah got to experience that firsthand. God was taking care of his man. He's providing for him. He's feeding him daily. And God's met and supplied his needs. Number two, God gives enough grace for one more day to build our faith and reliance on him. Now, as we see there in verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, can you imagine here Elijah? Okay, Lord, you've been providing for me every day. You've given me food from the ravens in the morning. You've given me food in the evening from the ravens. And this brook has been providing me water. Now the brook's dried up. What now? Can you imagine Elijah in his prayer? Lord, I'm out of water. Are you going to supply for me as you've been supplying? But let me tell you, God gives enough grace to go one more day. And what the Lord does then, as we see in the next coming verses, the Lord actually begins to bring a small trial into his life. But God says, hey, don't worry, I've got you covered. And as we read on, the Lord sends him to the widow lady. The Lord causes the oil and the meal or flour to be stayed just enough for one more day. Let's look at there in chapter 17. Let's look at verses 18 through 16. Just keep your heads up. We're going to be staying in this chapter pretty much through the entire chapter as we go through this. But let's look at verses 8 through 16. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her and her he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So again, here we see that in this story, it's a wonderful story here. Elijah comes in, he comes off of the mountain, he comes to this widow lady and says, hey, the Lord sent me to you, get me some water and a cake. And she says, well, I just have just enough to make a small cake for me and my son, and then we're going to give up. That's all we've got left. And he says, give it to me first. Now, if you were that widow lady, what would you have done? You have one last cake that you have. It took a little bit of faith to give that to the man of God, didn't it? But what happens? We see God come in and provides for her and gives her enough grace to go on the next day. Because what happens? The oil doesn't stop and the meal doesn't stop. And she is able to have that until the end of the drought. God provides for her every day because she had faith and trusted the man of God. Amen. And when we hear the word of God preached from the man of God in his pulpit, when he's here preaching, sometimes, hey, you know, I don't know about that, but maybe we need to have a little faith to trust him. We need to have a little faith and trust the word of God and trust the man of God that's speaking in place of God. And he is here to teach us the word of God so that we can follow and do what the Lord wants us to do. And when we step out in faith, I promise you, God will always provide you enough grace to go the extra mile. He will always give you enough grace to go that next day. And it's wonderful to think. Now, here we see Elijah relied on God. Now, so here we have the widow lady who is relying on God and trust God, and trust the man of God, and provides for him, and gives him the cake and the oil. She saw that faith. Now, what did Elijah have to do? Elijah had to trust that she would. You know, I tell you what, if I come up to some lady, and I said, hey, that's your last bit of food, you gonna give that to me? I would be a little, I don't know about that. I know if I asked Lish, I said, oh, hey, that's the last piece of chicken? You gonna give that to me? And smile. She probably, honestly, Lish would give it to me. But, you know, I might have to fight a little bit for it. It might be like, well, you got to go do this or go do that for that last piece of chicken. But no, but I would tell you, if especially if I knew it was the very last thing that I had, or that she had, I don't know if I would want to ask her for it. And much less, but what happened? Elijah trusted God and he did it. And here's a wonderful truth that I got out of this. Through Elijah trusting God, what did he get to do? He got to bless the widow lady. Because the man of God trusted and relied on him to provide for him that next day of grace, we saw God use him to bless this lady and be able to show her the faith. And she's able to take that faith and go day by day with the grace that God gave him. As Christians, if we could just learn to trust God, if we could have you say, but Lord, I don't know what's coming next. I don't know where I'm going from here. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know where my next meal's coming from. And we've been there. Lish and I were there when we first moved to West Virginia from Kentucky out of Bible college. We were there. We thought, Lord, you know, what are you going to do? But God always provided for us. It was amazing. You know, I often joke, you know, when I'd ask the Lord, I'd say, Lord, I need some food. You know, he'd always send me work. and I used to laugh about it, but he'd send me work and I'd get enough money to go and I'd be able to get enough food and we made it. And I'm here to tell you that I trusted the Lord, and what happened? All of my needs were met. Now, did I have a fancy car? No. Did I have a big house? No. Do I have everything that I could ever want? No. But I have my needs met. And that's what matters. God has been watching out for me and my wife. And when we trust the Lord, we can see God use us. And through us, we can pass that on. And we can see other people get something from God. Because why? We're trusting him and his daily grace. Amen. And we can move forward in that. Number three. God gives enough grace for one more day by giving us one small victory at a time. Let's look again at 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to read verses 17 through 24. 17 through 24 says, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. See, God gives us enough grace to go one more day by giving us a small victory at a time. See, we saw the victory of the brook right off the bat. What did God do? He gave him a brook. Start you off little. I'm going to provide for you with your daily needs of just simply meeting your needs with the food, and you have plenty of water. There's a victory. I have my needs met. Well, that brook dried up. It's getting a little more difficult, Lord. I have another big need here. The water's gone. Well, what happened? God gave him another victory and sent him to the widow lady. And in the middle of that victory, he's able to not just have that victory for himself, but show another lady that victory that there is in relying on God and having that trust and that grace. And then what do we see? We see this, the widow lady's son died. Well, Lord, what are you doing? First, you take away the water, and but you provided for me so far, but you took the water away, but you gave me another victory, you sent me to this lady, but now the lady's son dies? Lord, what are you doing here? But what happens? The Lord revives that young man. And we see God perform a miracle through Elijah here, and what happens? God gives Elijah another victory. And as we study the life of Elijah, that's what it is it's victory after victory after victory. And as we study through, and as we look at these things, we see the victory of the raising of this dead boy. And God brings victory one at a time in the grace to keep us going and to show us he is always there. See, he gives us the little victories to build our faith and to encourage us in our time of despair. This encourages us to know how we can handle the big trial when it comes, because we know he has come through for us before. Amen. See, when I tell you a story about myself, this would be a little bit of a funny story. I was, when I was 16, my uncle, for an early graduation present from high school, bought me a hunting trip in Craig, Colorado. And so my dad said, well, let's go. So about this time, 11 years ago already, wow. Just think about that. 11 years ago, we took a drive out to Craig, Colorado. Now, typically, it's about a 1,500-mile drive, and it would take us about 24 hours to do. Well, that year, my dad decided we were going to bring a camper along. And we had a little Chrysler Town Country minivan, and we're going to bring this camper. Well, we made it to about Washington, Pennsylvania, and our van began to shake. And it, like, if you had dentures in, your teeth were going to come out. I mean, our van was shaking that hard. So we stopped just you're talking an hour away from the house. And we started looking and trying to figure out what it was. We couldn't figure it out. So we got in, and we were going about 35 miles an hour down the interstate with this camper trailer, and we got to somewhere in Ohio, and we said, enough's enough, and we stopped for the evening, realizing that we took what should have taken us about a three-hour trip to have taken about an eight-hour trip now. And so we stop, and my dad and I get out, and we literally tear the motor out of the van, looking to figure out what the problem is. And we come to find these motor mounts had gone bad on the van. So my dad and I took those motor mounts out, and we have a lot of tools, but one thing that you have to have if you're going to replace a motor mount is a vise. We didn't have a vise. And so Dad went to Lowe's. We walked to Lowe's, and we bought a vise. And we're sitting there in this camper trailer trying to press a new motor mount into this little metal apparatus. And we couldn't do it. We were up way late. I'm sitting there trying to hold it with vise grips, and he's trying to crank the thing. And we could not get it to press. And I remember my dad just took a moment. He just prayed out loud. He said, Lord, you got to help us here. The next morning, we were out there in the parking lot trying to get that thing pressed. And this guy randomly drives by and says, you need some help? My dad tells him what's going on. He says, I work down here at the car shop. He says, why don't you come with us? Okay, so we got up in his truck and we went down. He had this big vise that was designed for pressing motor mounts. And so Lord just gave it to us. We got our mount pressed, and we said, all right, we're good to go. So we went back, we put it in, and we put everything back together, and we got going down the road, and about an hour later, guess what? The van starts shaking again. I'm like, what in the world? So about an hour later, it started shaking real bad, and we pulled over, and we're checking, looking, what's going on? Dad, upon inspection, finds out that the other motor mount had gone out. So, guess what? Round two. We go, we tear that entire motor apart, and we get that thing out, and we start looking for a shop. Guess what? There's none to be found. And so, again, we're sitting there praying, and we're trying to figure something out, and we're sitting in a Taco Bell parking lot, of all places, and this guy comes up, and almost the same as the first time, says, you guys need some help? And he has, in his personal garage, a vise that would press a motor mount. And so we go over there, and we get that pressed, and we go, and we put it back in the van, and we say, all right, we're good to go now. And so we take off going back down the road, and we're somewhere about Missouri, and all of a sudden, a tire blows out on the camper. Now, we had one spare tire for that camper, and so we said, okay. So Dad and I got out, and it's pouring the rain. We're sitting there. It's like, you know, 6 inches of water in this rest area. We're out there changing it at 3 a.m. And we get that tire put on. We're like, all right, good. And Dad says, we're going to, as soon as it's daylight and these stores open, we're going to go get a new tire for this thing because I don't want to take a chance of the other tire blowing out. So we got back on the road. And guess what? About another hour or so, that other tire blew on us. It was unbelievable. And so we're sitting there. We actually end up having to jack the camper up and leave the camper on the side of the interstate to go find a tire. And we looked forever. We could not find a tire. We spent a whole day just looking for a tire for that camper. And one of the places we had stopped at a Walmart. And the guy that was working at the Walmart says, what size tire? And it's a weird off-the-wall size tire because it's from an old camper. We don't even have the camper anymore. It's like a 68-something Nomad or something. And so, but he says, I think I have a friend that deals with tires. He says, I'll see. So he calls him up and sends us to some guy across town who just happened to have one tire that fit our trailer. And the guy, my dad comes in, he just tells him the story. And so my dad, after telling him that, the guy says, well, you know what? He says, I'll tell you what. He says, you've been having it rough. He says, I don't think I'm ever going to get rid of that tire. He says, I'll just give you that tire. And so we got a tire and put it on the, and we didn't have to pay anything for it. And we got going down the road. We got, about another couple hours. And the tire went out on the van. And so we got out and changed it. And we're like, okay, another tire. So now that time, we actually were able to get the tire repaired. And then we actually stopped the night and got it in the morning. And we're going on down our way. We got to about the Missouri-Kansas border. And the Jeeps, or the van, begins to shake again. And we're like, what in the world? You know, we had just replaced all the motor mounts and had been doing okay so far. And so we started looking at it. And finally, Dad just said, I've had enough. And we took it to a shop and found out the CV joint was bad. And they replaced the CV joint for us. And they did it labor-free for no reason. But they just decided they were going to do it for labor-free. So we just bought the CV joint. And the mechanics there, after hours even, put the CV joint on our van for free. And then we started going on down the interstate. And we noticed that our van was getting very bad gas mileage. And we could not figure out what was going on, but we were actually barely making it from exit to exit. And if you've ever been out Midwest, you're talking, there's 100 miles between exits. And so we're barely making it from exit to exit. And one of the exits, we didn't make it. And so we're sitting along the side of the road out of gas. We're like, what do we do? In the middle of Kansas somewhere. And a state trooper comes by and brings us some gas. He actually went to the next place, come back after like 45 minutes. He shows back up, puts that 5-gallon tank of gas in there, rides with us to the gas station, and the state of Kentucky put a free tank of gas in our van. And so we found out, what happened is that our van had a transmission problem because of that camper. It was too heavy. And so we were stuck in third gear all the way from the middle of Kansas all the way to Colorado. Well, we finally got there. And what should have taken us a 1.5-day trip ended up taking us 5 days. And so we got out there, and I had 2 days of hunting, but I got an experience. And what that experience that I learned, especially with applying from this Bible story, is that in the middle of that trial, in the middle of that problem, or just one thing after another, God kept giving us blessings. And it was amazing to us how in the middle of this pain and this annoyance and everything else with these vehicles breaking down, that God kept giving us little blessings in the middle of it to tell you, hey, I'm with you. It's okay. You can keep going. And he gave us the grace to continue going. And it took us a little longer than we wanted, but hey, God met our needs and provided for us. See, and God will give us the little victories to keep on going. God gives enough grace for one more day so he can prepare us for the day of our big spiritual battle. See, Elijah was faced with a big battle on Mount Carmel. God had provided enough grace to get him through the trial so far. He knew God would give him the grace to win this fight. Elijah saw a great victory because he had learned to rely on God and not himself. See, so far we've seen God. Elijah has relied on God. He's provided for him with the brook. He has provided for him with the widow lady. He raised the widow lady's son from the dead. God has been there for him, has provided for his needs every day. So when Mount Carmel comes along, as you're familiar with the story of Mount Carmel, he's on the altar. He calls down fire from heaven. He knew that God was going to meet his need. Why? Because he had so far. And so as Christians, when we come to that point where God is facing or puts a trial in our life, puts a spiritual battle in our lives, brings something into us that says, hey, you know, this is for your benefit, but it's a fight. This isn't just a problem or maybe an inconvenience. I mean, this is a fight. This is a spiritual battle that we're going to have to fight. God can give us the victory because he's given it to us in the past. He has built our confidence up and our willingness to rely on him because he's given us those little problems. But we have to fight and face those little problems. When God gives us enough grace for one more day, like I said, he's not giving it for the week. He's not giving it for the month. He's giving it for the day. Why? So that we're conditioned and we're ready for when that big spiritual battle comes. And that's what happened with Elijah. God provided enough grace to get him through the trials so far. And he knew that God would give him the grace to win that fight. And you too can handle the big trials when they come because we know that God will come through us, come through in the big times and will always be there for us. Point number five, God gives enough grace for one more day during Satan's attack and during the hard times. Now, for every Mount Carmel experience that we have and every great big battle and victory that we have, there's always a valley. And every time we see that we said, hey, you know, we fought that spiritual battle, we fought that fight, and we won, and yes, we got a big victory. I promise you, the devil's not far behind. He's going to come at you. And that's what we see in the life of Elijah. As soon as he fights that battle on Mount Carmel, what happens? Old Jezebel comes up and says, I'm going to kill you. And what does he do? He goes and he runs. He hides. Got a little discouraged. I don't blame Elijah for getting discouraged. Just, we shouldn't stay there. As Christians, you know, it's one thing to get discouraged. I promise you, when we were on that trip to Colorado, it was a little discouraging. You know, but we didn't stay discouraged. And we can realize that God's going to provide for us. And when we rely on that, God will give us that grace to go on.
Amen.
And we don't have to stay discouraged. Well, there's no reason to be discouraged as a Christian. But when we come, be ready for it. God will provide for us. Don't worry. God will meet our needs. Even when Satan's attack comes, he's there for us. Why? Because he was there for the brook. He was there with the widow lady. He was there raising the widow lady's son. He was there at Mount Carmel. He hasn't left you just because you're in the valley. He's there with you.
Yes,
you too, Christians, sometimes the trial will seem unbearable. The trial will get you discouraged, but God has come through for you in the past, and he will continue to come through for you in the trials. God always provides enough grace for you to make it one more day, and then he will give you enough grace to live on for one more day. We call it living by faith. Now, I have another illustration here. When I was in college, I had a bus route. I was a bus captain. And I enjoyed working on my bus route. But I had a time where I had gotten into a little bit of a financial struggle with paying my bill. And long story short, I had exactly $30 in my pocket. This $30 had to go for gas for the entire rest of the week. Actually, the next 2 weeks for gas. And so I said, well, that's going to be awful stretching. But at the same time, I was supposed to buy the promotion for my bus route on Sunday morning. And so I'm sitting in Walmart, and I'm staring at, I forget what it was, I think it was Ding Dongs. I think we were having Ding Dong Sunday. And so I'm sitting here staring at these Ding Dongs, and I remember talking to the Lord about it, and I'm like, Lord, you know, I've only got $30, but I'm supposed to have these tomorrow. And I said, well, you know, if I buy these, I'm not going to have enough gas to make it to work. I said, you know, I need that gas money. You know, I need to make it to work. I need the job. I need to be able to pay my school bill. I said, but, you know, I don't know. And the Lord just kind of convicted me and says, you know, you're doing these for my kids. You think I'm not going to take care of you? So I said, all right. So I learned that, you know, you don't argue with God very long. And so I went ahead and I bought those ding-dongs, and I paid for them, and I had like $10 left when it was all said and done. So I went to the gas station. I put that $10 in my gas tank, and we had church on Sunday, and I brought kids to church and everything on Sunday night like normal. And I had, on Monday morning, I had just enough gas to get to work. And I said, well, this is going to be interesting. So I went to work on Monday morning, or Monday evening, I guess, after college. And at Subway, which is where I worked, we had a tip jar. Now, typically, for the average night, I would get maybe a dollar in tips, you know, if gift, you know, if that was a good night. Sometimes it'd be less. Sometimes it was lucky if people didn't take money out of the tip jar. I mean, I worked downtown. Anyways, so that night, when the end of that shift, I counted up, I had $12 in tips, which is like unbelievable. I said, well, hey, so I drove straight to the gas station, put that $12 in my gas tag, and went back to the college. Went back to work the next day, I got like $6 in tips. And would you believe that those next 2 weeks, I was given more than $5 every night in tips, which was enough gas to put in my tank to get me to and from work for the next 2 weeks. And God provided for me literally day by day in the middle of that trial. Why? Because I trusted him. And I went ahead and bought him a bunch of ding-dongs for his kids. But God met my needs and provided for me daily. And it's a wonderful thing when you see these truths in God's word, and you see that, then you get to experience it in real life. It's exciting. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God will give you enough grace to go one more day. Just trust him. Just rely on him. See, God has a plan for each of us, and he wants us to fulfill that. God provides enough grace through our trials so we can continue on in his service. Elijah taught Elisha and continued his service till the Lord took him home to heaven in a chariot of fire. See, God will give you enough grace for each day. Just trust God and keep on serving him. That's the end of my message. If you would, go ahead and stand with me, and we'll have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to take the simple truth about God's, about your grace that you give to us, Lord. And when we are here and we're facing the trials, we're facing the problems, and we have those things that come into our life, Lord, that we're not sure about, I pray you'd help us to realize that you are there with us, and that you'll give us enough grace to go on the next day. I pray that you just bless us this evening, and that you just meet with us and help us to take this and be with us throughout the week. Lord, I pray you just bless. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.